תזכו לשנים רבות, נעימות וטובות, פשוט כבוד הרב, מעלת הרבנים. Dear friends, first and foremost, congratulations on the new synagogue. It's quite beautiful. My prayer is that the synagogue will be used for tefillah, for Torah, for simachot, and for all happy occasions. Amen. We are in the month of Elul. Don't pay attention to September. September doesn't mean anything. The month is Elul. Our rabbis tell us that Elul is made up of four letters. Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed. And they also tell us that these letters stand for something. September doesn't stand for anything, but Elul stands for something. It's called Rashi Tevot. What does it stand for? A pasuk that we sing on Friday night. Ani ledodi vedodi li. Ani is a aleph, ledodi is a lamed, vedodi is a vav, and then the last lamed is li. Ani ledodi vedodi li, elul. There's many different drashot on this. Every rabbi has a hadush what elul stands for. I just told you the most famous one. I once said, Elul is Rashi Tevot, Ashkenazim Lishon, Vesfaradim Leslichot. And there's many of them like that. What does it mean, Ani Ledodi Vedodi Li? Well, who's Dodi? Dodi is God. Ani ledodi means I must come closer to God. So the month is giving us a suggestion. Make a move. Take a step. Get closer. Ani ledodi. Borei Olam says, I'm here, I'm waiting. It's a month of mercy. It's a month of kindness. Borei Olam says you must take a step. However, there's another rabbi that said that there's another pasuk. This is not in Shir Shirim, it's in the Torah. This pasuk says, Uman Hashem. God's going to take not a knife, but an imaginary knife, and he's going to make a circumcision. Not a brit milah, but Ummal Hashem, God is going to circumcise et hazak baruch, your heart. As the pasuk says, Ummal Hashem et levavecha ve et levav. He will circumcise your heart and the heart of your children. And the rabbis say, et levavecha ve et levav elul. I got confused from this for one reason. I have one question tonight. The first night I gave a derasha, I asked 10 questions. Now I'm making it very simple. I'm asking one question. I'm going to give one answer. We'll say to be Hananya, we'll call it a night. My question is, the second derasha says, Ummal Hashem, God will come and He makes the first move and He'll circumcise our hearts. The heart needs to be softened. The heart could be sometimes a very hard muscle, like stone, like a rock. So God has to come sometimes and soften it. In order that the Judaism can come in, it needs to be like a sponge, it needs to have pores. But some people's heart, it's cold. In Arabic they say, Albo Barid. His heart is cold. Nothing can go in, it's like ice. So the Pasuk says, God says, don't worry, I'll handle it. Umal Hashem, God has a special knife, it's not dangerous. Umal Hashem et levavecha ve'et levavzarecha. My question that I have tonight is very simple. Who makes the first move? Is it ani ledodi, I must make the first step, or is it Umal Hashem? I just want to know the order. It's very important to me, this question, because I need to know, maybe I have to do nothing. Maybe in Elul, I should just get a chair, a cup of coffee, which I have already, and just sit and wait. And somebody says, Hakam, you waiting for a bus? No, I'm not waiting for the bus. What are you waiting for? Umal Hashem. Umal Hashem. Yeah, et levavicha ve'et levav Elul. I'm ready. Borei olam, kavod. But then he'll tell me, oh, ani ledodi, ani, you have to make the step. So who's right? How do we reconcile both these derashot? The answer. The answer is a very big secret. I think I'm past my quota of revealing secrets to the community in Mexico. I've been revealing secrets the past 3 days, but I still have one more left in my pocket. Consider it your lucky night, because I'm going to reveal to you another secret. You deserve it because you came out here in the rain. If I didn't have to give this speech, I wouldn't have came here tonight. The fact that you came in inclement weather, you deserve to hear a very important yesod. It's a fundamental. It's a principle. It goes like this. God Almighty will send a person messages. Everybody in their life at a certain moment will get signs from Hashem giving him a signal, move, do something, change. In the olden days, the signals were clear because we had prophets. You would go to the prophet, and the prophet would tell you, God said to me, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, and he would give you a prescription from God. In the olden days, you didn't need to be so bright to figure out the message. The prophet would give it to you on a silver platter. Today, unfortunately, we don't have prophets. The biggest hacham is not a prophet. So the messages now are more subtle. However, if you clean your ears good, God is always talking to us. And the way it works is, God will give you a message to wake you up. The step that follows is you must capitalize it. You must grab it. Rabbi Dessler writes in his book that there are moments that are called moments of si'ata dishmaya. Moments of divine assistance. You don't get them every day. You don't get them every month. Maybe if you're lucky, you get one or two of them a year, where Borei Olam sends a wake-up call, an idea, an inspiration. Rabbi Dessler says, grab them. Don't let those moments go. Because if you grab it, it could lift you up and it can change your life. But if you let it go over your head or under your legs, you lost it. And that message was wasted, and you might not get another chance. The messages come from the funniest places, where you least expect it. I'll give you an example from the Gemara of a message. And I'll give you an example of real life. Gemara first. Gemara says that there was a fellow, his name was Elazar. It's a common Jewish name. His father's name was Durdaya. Not such a common name, Durdaya. Elazar ben Durdaya. Okay. I'll try to say this Gemara as best as I can without being inappropriate, because it's an inappropriate story. The Gemara says about this guy, Elazar ben Durdaya, he had a big yetzer hara for women. And he went with every zonah, please forgive me. This was his weakness. Bad guy. I mean, he's a perverted guy. Every single day, a lot of money. And he would spend all his money on this immorality. From one to the next, to the next, to the next, all day long, meaning we call him a lowlife. Degenerate. I don't know the word to call such a guy. Lowest guy in the world. Anyway, it says one day he heard that there's a zonah over the ocean on the other side of the island. So he hired a yacht, a boat, cost of money. And he took a lot of money with him because it was very expensive. And he went on the boat to the other side of the ocean. I don't know why God didn't drown him in the ocean. Mashemo, this guy. The guy's going to put a zonah across the ocean. He's sitting like a king. Borei Olam has so much patience for people. I wish I had the patience, one zillionth of the patience of God that he has for people. We would not have patience for such a guy. Such a guy would come to my shul. You see what I do to such a guy. Elazar ben Durdaya. He was going to bid for Kal Nidre, 552,000. That I take your 52,000 zonot and leave the synagogue. Elazar ben Durdaya. I wouldn't give him the time of day. I wouldn't shake his hand. But Borei Olam, lucky that I'm not Borei Olam, because there'd be nobody left in the world. Borei Olam is much more patient. Give him a chance. Give him a chance for what? Anyway, he gets to the other side of the island. Now he's going to go with this zonah. It's the only zonah that he left yet. It's the only one left. He walks into the zonah, Be'inu'am, whatever he says, L'shem yuhudu chaberichu, whatever he does. He's ready to commit the avera. And all of a sudden, God says to the malachim, it's time for me to give this guy an inspiration. And the malachim say, what? Inspiration? He deserves an inspiration. He deserves a message. He doesn't deserve anything. The pasuk says, Ve'ahavta et Hashem. You must love God. B'chol levavecha, u'chol nafshecha, u'chol me'odecha. This guy loves zonot. B'chol levavo, b'chol nafsho, u'chol me'odo. And you're going to give him an inspiration? He doesn't deserve it. Borei Olam says, let me run the world. I know what I'm doing. Now he might not take it. Because God can only send a message. Then it's the job of the person to either hear it or drop it. The chiddush of this story is where the message came from. If I was reading this Gemara and I said, oh, where's the message going to come from? Well, I'm thinking, he's overseas. He's in a place where there's not too many Jews, obviously. It's an island. The only place that the inspiration can come from is from the Chabad guy. There must be a Chabad over there. So on the way into the Zonah, there's a Chabad guy out there. Did you put on tefillin today? And that's the guy. That's the guy that's connected. Because where else could the inspiration come from in a place of zonot? It's got to come from a decent place. Problem is, Chabad wasn't in this place yet. Maybe they were, and they knew who the guy was. And even Chabad said, forget about this guy. That's what probably happened. Because I don't blame them. The guy's a bad guy. I mean, he's a career zanai. That's what he does for a career. Anyway, he goes in. He has to pay the cash up front. She counts all the money. It's all there. Okay. And now, I'm not too sure what brought this. The Zona must have heard about him. Because he was famous. Zona must have known his practice. Don't ask me how this happened, because obviously I wasn't there. And I didn't get a recording of the conversation back and forth. But at some point, before he's ready to make the sin, she looks at him and says, you know something? There's no way God is ever going to forgive you. Wow. From the zona, all of a sudden she becomes a mashgiach. If I was Elazar ben Dordai, I would tell the zona, I didn't come for Musar, I came for Zenuta. You didn't mean Musar. When did you become Rosh Hashiva? Who asked you to tell me about Teshuvah, your Teshuvah? I mean, such a strange conversation. Why would she say that? Why would she say that? If you're making a bet, you'd say she'd never say it. And she just looks and says, I just have to tell you one thing. You are finished. Everybody can make teshuvah, but there is no way that God will ever receive you. You are doomed. At that point, Elazar ben Druya stopped and he said to himself, hold on. I've been with Zonot my whole life. Nobody ever talked to me about teshuvah before. That's not her talking. God must have put that in her mouth because this is the point of no return. This is my last chance and God's given me one more chance. Now I believe that Elazar ben Dodaya probably had other chances in life. The Gemara doesn't tell us about those because those chances he didn't listen. But this one, the Gemara tells it to us because it hit him. And he grabbed it. He put back his clothes. He didn't ask back for his money. He went outside. Just excuse me. He started to cry like a baby. And the Gemara says he took his head and he put it between his knees. And he was crying to God, please, Borei Olam, forgive me. What did I do? And he was so broken. And he was so remorseful. He became so moved from this, he died. As his head is between his legs, he cried himself to death. Cause of death, teshuvah. Now teshuvah is not supposed to kill you. But in this case, it killed him. Because he had so much to fix. Well, after he finishes the teshuvah and he dies, a voice comes out of heaven and says, Elazar, or Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya, you have Olam Haba. To me, I learned a lot of lessons from this episode. Number one is what the Maharal said. The Maharal, he studied names. He always likes to read the Gemara and then analyze the name of a person, because he believed that in the name of a person is his essence. There's no coincidence what your name is. Your name represents your nature. Well, his first name is El-Azhar. El-Azhar means El-Azhar. God helped him. Because that's exactly what would happen. The most pivotal moment of his life would be El-Azhar. That God helped him. But what does Dordaya mean? Says Maharal, you know what Dordaya is? If anybody ever saw a barrel of wine, the top of the barrel is the wine. The bottom of the barrel, you have all the dregs, the peels, the twigs, the shells, the pits. That's the stuff that you try to filter out. It's not edible, it's not drinkable. In Hebrew, they call the bottom of the barrel shemarim. It's the refuse, it's the waste. Nobody pays for shemarim, you pay for wine. In Aramaic, the way you say shemarim is durdaya. So the name of this guy is El-Azhar ben Dordaya. Says Maharal, because El-Azhar, God helped him. And you know when God helped him? Ben Dordaya, when he was at the bottom of the barrel. Somebody else is coming. El-Azhar ben Dordaya, God helped him when he was at the bottom, in the worst place. God sent him a message, not when he was sitting in the kollel, not when he was sitting doing some mitzvah in Yerushalayim. He helped him in Sin City, in front of a zonah. That's called bottom of the barrel. In America we say, he reached rock bottom. El-Azhar, can I get lower than this? Look how good God is. He's at the bottom of the barrel. And you know who's there with him? Borei Olam is with him. Borei Olam goes to the bottom of the barrel. Look how much he'll save us. He never gives up on us. No matter how many avirot you make, Borei Olam says, I'm going to give you a chance. I'm never going to give up on you. There's always going to be hope. It's from my elbow, yes? I know you guys like the Kabbalah. I'm sure this is something. It means something. I'm not going to ask any questions. I accept. As long as no one's going to hurt me over here, I accept. But if you bring another one over here, I'm leaving. Anyway, look at this. God sends a message in such a dirty, low place. Ben Dordaya is at the bottom of the barrel. And God says, give him another chance. Now, if El-Azhar would have missed it, not only would he have committed the sin, add it to the list. But he never would have made it to Olam Abba. That means, if that message would have went over his head, it would have changed his eternity. That means sometimes, if you don't listen to the message, it can change not today or tomorrow. It can change your forever. And you never want to play with things that are forever. That's a big risk. That's a big gamble. You want to play for the day, for the week, for the month. But to take your eternity and roll dice with it, it's too big of a gamble. At that point, Elazar said, I got to grab this message. And he took it, and the Ben Ish Chai says, he put his head between his legs. Why? Teshuvah is usually standing like this. What is he bending over? He said, because there's somebody else in the world that lives in that position, their head between their legs. And that's a baby when he's in his mother's womb. In English, we call that the fetal position. This guy came along and said, I'm such a bad guy. I need to recreate myself. And therefore he went back into the fetal position like a baby and said, God, give me a chance to be born again. Says the Ben Ish Chai, that's the secret of going to the mikveh. You men go to the mikveh maybe once a year before Kippur, some people go before Shabbat, the ladies go every month. What is the secret of a mikveh? Well, you go into the mikveh, and they say the water has to cover your whole body. So you have to dip in the mikveh exactly in that position, which is called the fetal position. Somebody dipping in the mikveh, if you would have the image, the water is like the embryonic sac. Before a lady gives birth, a water breaks. The child in the mother's womb is surrounded by water. When we go to the mikveh, we go back to the womb. And we go back into fetal position. And when we're in that position, we tell God, we want to be born again. And then we come out again. Siman tov. This is not the person that went in. It's a different person. We don't recognize him. He's a different person. Panim hadashot. Elazar ben Dudaraya went down into the fetal position and he recreated himself. And God accepted his teshuvah. That's a classic example of hearing a message. And it came from an odd place. That's a story of a Gemara. Now let me tell you a real story from life. I was there. I was giving a class in New York. Not as big as this. 10 guys sitting around the table. Most of them not religious. Most of them eat out in restaurants, not kosher. But they like to come to the class, entertaining, Hadushim, the rabbi. 2-3 guys, very religious, but. Anyway, we're sitting in the class and I'm talking about kashrut. Kashrut, kashir, it affects your heart, it affects your brain, whatever we're talking, strong, but. One of the religious guys turns to the guy next to him, his name is Jerry. He tells him, Jerry, teshuvah. Teshuvah. I see it in front of me. Jerry turns to the guy and says, mind your own business. What about teshuvah? You make teshuvah. What are you telling me teshuvah? Jerry eats out in non-kosher restaurants. Okay, I continue. The guy turns again. Jerry, teshuvah. He says, you know something? You're an annoying guy. What does it bother you? Just listen to the class. If the rabbi will tell me teshuvah, what do you have to get in your nose in my business? He was getting annoyed. And I'm watching it happen. Finally turns to him a third time, he says, teshuvah, teshuvah. He tells him, I don't know what you want from me. Teshuvah is between me and God. Why are you embarrassing me in front of the... He says to him, I don't know what you're talking about. For 10 minutes, I'm asking you for the tissue box. He kept on telling him, tissue box. And he's hearing teshuvah. And he says, tissue box. He has to blow his nose. He says, I heard you. Leave me alone. He tells him, tissue box, tissue box. And he says, leave me alone. And then he said to himself, Jerry, he said, something strange here, Hakam. Everybody heard tissue box. But I heard teshuvah. I didn't hear tissue box. And he said it 10 times. And I kept on hearing teshuvah, teshuvah, teshuvah. That's a message from God. It didn't come from a zonah, mind you. It came in the Bet Midrash. But it came in a very funny way because he didn't intend that. He meant to tell him, pass me a tissue. But God said, I could use him. I could use him. He'll be the shaliyah. I'll create a miscommunication in his ear, and only he'll hear it. Nobody else, because that's the one I'm trying to catch. Jerry says, God's talking to me. No more eating out, Hakam. You know what it did to me? It humbled me. Because what made him make teshuvah? Not my class. I'm speaking about kashrut. And what made him make tissue box? Nothing I said. God does the business. It's really incredible. And this happens a lot. Borei Olam gives us wake-up calls. Things happen. Just pay attention. God's always talking to you. Nobody should think, man, God doesn't want to talk to me. You're not worse than Elazar ben Dordaya. You're not worse. And if God gave him a second chance and a third chance, he'll give us as well. But after a certain point, God says, enough. I kept on throwing him easy pitches, easy balls. He doesn't catch. Enough. And in Elul, that's when these things happen a lot. The second real story that happened. Message. I was giving a shiur in Miami. Alav Hashalom. And at the end of the speech, a businessman came up to me and said, Hakam, can I tell you a story? Of course. He said, I'm a businessman. I sell watches. He said, and I always go to a supplier. He supplies me the watches. And I sell them for a profit. But I always wanted to know, where does the supplier get the stock from? Because then I can go to him direct. So I said to myself, and he says, forgive me, Hakam. I said to myself, the next time I go to this guy's office and he walks out for a minute, I'm going to take his papers. And then I'll find out where he buys from and I can buy straight. He walks in, sits down, they're writing an order up. All of a sudden the supplier says, forgive me, I have to go to the bathroom. Zaha. He doesn't take your time. Now he goes and he's nervous because he's not a thief. It's the first time he did this. But you know, you rationalize, I mean, parnasa, you know, times are tough, and you know, all the excuses we make. He says, you know what I'm going to do? He takes out a piece of paper and a pen and he sees the name of the supplier. And the number. His hand's shaking. He writes the number and he writes the name of the company, but in Hebrew letters. Because if he gets caught, they'll see in Hebrew letters, won't know what it is. So he writes 4 letters. He puts it in his pocket, the guy comes back in. Okay, you want to make an order? No, not today. Oh, not today. What does they want to manashtana? No, I need to think about it. Fine. He walks out into the elevator. He's shaking. He puts his hand in his pocket and he's opening the letter just to see what he wrote. And he sees four Hebrew letters. Gimal, Nun, Bet, He. That spells Geneva. The name of the supplier was the Geneva Watch Company. So when he wrote Geneva, he wrote Gimal, Nun, Bet, He. It's Geneva. But when he looked at it, he didn't see Geneva. He saw the words Geneva. He took the paper and he ripped it in 100 pieces. He went back and he placed an order. So don't tell me God doesn't talk to people. That's God giving him a message. You're doing the wrong thing. Now he could have said, wow, what a coincidence. I keep on going. But like Nabi Al-Azhar bin Durdaya, it went in one ear and it stayed. It didn't go out the other. Seize the moments. Sometimes we'll come to a class, and the rabbi will say something and it'll hit. To grab it. It's a gift from God. Some people will come to the class and they'll get nothing out of it. But somebody else, it'll hit something. A chord of the neshama was strung. That's your moment. Grab it. You don't know when you're going to get the next one. That's what it means when it says, Umar Hashem et levavecha. God will always make the first move. He'll make the circumcision of the heart. He'll send you the message. Then it's up to you to take the step of Ani Ledodi. But it'll always be preceded by a message from God. So you always have to be prepared. You always have to be ready. You don't know where it's going to come from. One of the great rabbis was walking home from the yeshiva. And he saw the shoemaker. It's 11 o'clock at night. And the shoemaker is the cobbler, banging shoes. Rabbi was impressed. 11 o'clock at night and he's still working on shoes. So he told the shoemaker was a simple man, Amaris, ignoramus. What are you doing working so late? Well, he had a lantern. And the lantern had oil in it. And he said that as long as there's still oil, so the light can be bright, there's time to fix. And the rabbi starts crying. What did he say? You didn't hear what he said? Nothing. He said, as long as the light's on, we could fix. He says, yes, you know what it means? God's giving us a message that as long as the light of the neshama is on, we still have time to fix our ways. That means he heard a message in that. I was once standing with a rabbi in Brooklyn. A rabbi from Israel was in Brooklyn, New York. And he asked me to walk with him. So I'm walking with him. We get to a bus stop. So there's signs, all the signs over there. Which bus? Where does it go? And then there's a sign that says next to the bus stop, no standing. It means that you can't put your car there. So he said, Maze, what is this sign? No, no, it's the bus. He said, no, this sign over here. I said, no standing. He said, but we're standing. I said, no. It doesn't mean us, it means a car. He said, a car stands? I don't know, I can't answer all these questions. It just means you can't, it's not a Gemara, it's a sign. I don't know what this guy wants from me. You can't park a car here, that's what it means, no standing. So he says, what a great country you live in. That they have signs that give musar. He says, because that's what the rabbis of musar say. In life, you cannot stand. You always have to be moving. How lucky every day you could walk by and they give you musar on a sign. The rabbi is not musar. That means Borei Olam will let people hear things and see things that others don't. Only you will perceive it that way. And know that when that happens, that's God's way of talking to you. His messages. But then God says, now I stand back. It's up to him if he's going to do something. The next move belongs to man. That answers my question. The two things of Elul are correct. Umal Hashem et levavecha ve'et levav zara'echa. That's the message. Ani ledodi, that's the move. I always thought about this. Moshe Rabbeinu was walking in the desert. He's a shepherd. His father, Lo Yitro, he married Sipora. He really doesn't have any great career. He's a shepherd. As he's walking, he sees a bush, like a cactus. And it's on fire. That shouldn't be so shocking because there's forest fires, California. It happens in the hot desert. Cactus catches fire from the sun or something. Somebody throws a cigarette. It happens. And Moshe is busy. He's a shepherd. He's busy working. He looks at the corner of his eye. He sees this burning cactus. But he sees something strange. He says, it's burning, but it doesn't burn. Now that's against nature. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu could have said, wow, interesting, but listen, I'm not a scientist. I'm a shepherd. You know, if somebody wants to do a study on the cactus burning, it's not. They'll tell you it's from the ozone, from the global warming. Who knows what it is? But I'm not going to get involved in this now. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "This is something that needs my attention." That means nature is talking to me now, but nature is God. God sometimes talks through nature. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, let me approach this because nature's talking to me here now. It's screaming at me. It's not talking. It's saying, come here, look at this. Did you ever see a cactus burn, but it's not burning? Although, if you want to see it today, it exists. If you go to Morocco, to a small village called Wazan, over there's buried a great rabbi called Rabbi Amram bin Diwan. And over there is an olive tree over his grave. His yurt site, they say, is Tu Be'ab. Every year, thousands of people go to this village. I was there. And they make a hilulah for the tzaddik. And they light candles. And they light the tree. And you see the olive tree on fire. It's in flames. You could probably YouTube it. You see the olive tree by the grave of Rabbi Amram bin Diwan engulfed. The next morning, the tree's there. And they do it every year. But this wasn't in Wazan, this was in the middle of the desert. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Asura nabe'ir'eh. Let me turn and pay attention for a second. When he gets there, what happens? God says, Hazak Baruch, you heard the message. It's good you turned. Because I can only talk to you in this spot. Take off your shoes. Airport security. And he comes to the burning bush and God tells him, you're the man. You're the leader. Take the Jewish people out of Egypt. And I always wondered and said, what if Moshe would not have turned? That one second decision to listen or not would have changed his whole life. The Jews would have been saved from Egypt, but through somebody else. Moshe's whole destiny, his whole future, was based on what? That decision. And that teaches me a great lesson. A lot of things that will happen to you in life are based on 1 second decisions that you made. You had a choice to go this way or that way. You went the wrong way. It can change the course of history. But because Moshe Rabbeinu went left and he walked 3 steps to the bush, we're still talking about him. Sometimes nature talks to us in more strict ways. When there's hurricanes and there's floods and there's earthquakes and there's tsunamis, there's all sorts of natural disasters. And then you wonder, how come the guy across the street, nothing happened to him? His house is perfect. And this house over here, flooded. We once had a blackout in Deal, where we go for the summer. The whole Deal, blackout, no lights, no electricity. It was a big storm. I was walking down my block with my children. One house on the block has lights. Every other house does not. I said, look how precise Borei Olam is. This guy did not deserve to have his lights out. His lights are on. No inconvenience whatsoever. His air conditioner is working. His fridge is working. Everything. He has no problem. All the troubles that everybody else is going through, it went right over his head. That means God's talking to us. Because if God wanted to save us from this, you could have been saved like this guy. Why did it happen? That's a message that's not a nice message. That's a message sometimes you have to grab the child and shake him up and say, enough already. But some people don't even hear that. And therefore, my message tonight is my message. Before Rosh Hashanah, take a good Q-tip and clean the wax out of your ears. And start to listen much more attentively, much more closely. And you'll start to see immediately tonight, God will be talking to you. Things will happen. Coincidences that are not coincidences. Somebody will say something to you and you say, wow, that's a message. Look what he said. And the other person will say, I didn't hear it, but you heard it that way. That's the tissue box theory. You'll be doing something wrong. You'll get a message. Geneva. Don't put it back in your pocket. Receive the message. Sometimes you'll hear a message from a cobbler, from the shoeman. Sometimes it'll be from a sign at a bus stop. Sometimes it'll be from the place you least expect it, a zona in the far off corners of the earth. El Azar ben Dodaya cannot make the shuba. But know that there's a common denominator between all these locations. They all come from the God. God loves us. There's hope for all of us. Even if you're living ben durdaya, if you're living at the bottom of the barrel, even if you've committed the sin 1,000 times, even if you think you're hopeless, you're not. You have a big fan in heaven. That's God Almighty. He roots for us. He says, I will always help you. But then you have to help yourself. I do not make only the milah, Umal Hashem et levavecha. Then it's up to you, ani nedodi. And then once you take the first step, God says, habal et taher, you're coming to purify yourself, misayin, I'll help you. But you have to make a move. Elazar made a move, he put his head between his legs. God said, I'll handle it. He cried himself to death, yesh lo chalek la'olam haba. Jerry heard the word teshuvah, he took a step. No more taref. God helped him because he helped himself. And the businessman decided, I'm not going to be a thief. God said, I gave you a message, but you made the decision. I circumcised and you walked. Listen to your messages and then react. Don't think it's a coincidence that you came here tonight to hear this. God is preparing you because all of you are going to hear a message soon. And without this class, you wouldn't have gotten it. This was a preparation for a moment that hasn't happened yet. But it's going to happen soon. And when it happens, open your hands, and say, God bless, God, thank you. Thank you for giving me a chance. And then you'll go higher and higher to the next level. My blessing to this great congregation, to your great rabbis. God is taking out his books this week, next week, and starting to make accounting. Be'ezat Hashem, the accounting should come in our favor. Every year when the accountant calls you up, we pay taxes. Well, we pay taxes every day, but the major taxes is April 15th. That's our Rosh Hashanah. And the accountant calls us, and we don't know what he's going to say. We don't know if he's going to say, you owe nothing, or he's going to say, the government owes you, or you owe the government. It's one of three options. That's the book of Rishayim, you owe the government. The book of Tzaddikim, the government owes you. Benonim, you're even. It's tax time. And the accountants in heaven are working 24 hours a day now to read the books. The good news is, once I give my tax return to my accountant, I can't change the numbers. I can't call them back and say, give me it, I want to move a decimal point. It's too late. However, until Kippur, we can always ask God back for the books and change the numbers. We do that on Yedei Teshuvah. We could fix our ways and we could cook the books. So the accountant will give us a credit. Sifran Shel Tzaddikim. And to all of you I say, V'atem Adibekim Badonai Yedoechem, Hayim Kodechem Ayom, Amen V'Amen.